Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The annual New York Latino Film Festival is around the corner. What role will TV play in it? Founder Calixto Chinchilla joins me next. Also ahead, Jimmy Kimmel breaks loose on ABC's primetime schedule. We'll have the news note details from Los Angeles. Our new classic trivia question, and what's the TV outlook over the next year? Comment coming up. Hey everyone, I'm Scott Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, we're celebrating our 12th anniversary and going into year 13, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of free audiobooks when you sign up for a 3-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon, first Monday of August 2019, and welcome to the start of our 13th year of being the program all about television. We kicked it off in August 2007, first Monday, on nowlive.com, moved over to Blog Talk Radio over 10 years ago, and here we are, still cooking, as the TV universe keeps on growing and growing and growing. Great to have you with us. We want you involved. Great guests coming your way as well. So pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, all around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And our chat room, as always, is open for business. We already have somebody in the room. And you'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. If you just want to post some congratulations on the room, please feel free. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Following instructions, other people will be live with you. 80 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and the New York Latino Film Festival founder, Calixto Chinchilla, will join me here at the Big Apple after these news notes. 2 weeks almost down, 1 week almost to go with the semi-annual TV Critics Touring Tour in Los Angeles. ABC has the stage at this hour, and a pair of Jimmy Kimmel-led initiatives is the headline of the hour. The late night host will again partner with Norman Lear for a pair of new live in front of a studio audience specials. One will happen over the holidays this December, and the other will run next spring. Live first presentation this past May, featuring episodes of All the Family and The Jeffersons, done by stars, was watched by nearly 23 million viewers, including a replay several days later, and captured several primetime Emmy nominations a few weeks ago. Separately, Kimmel and entrepreneur Mark Burnett will co-executive produce comedy quiz show Generation Gap to be seen next year. And the last hour, ABC has set a live concert version of Disney's The Little Mermaid for November 5th, starring Mulan animated voice Ali Cavallo and Queen Latifah. And also over the last hour, ABC has announced that they will be launching, probably in 2020, a new series of the civil rights movement called Women in the Movement. And it will feature women as producers, plus Will Smith and J.C. Involved as co-executive producers, and a separate series in development dealing with 9/11 based on an upcoming book. That series is expected to run in 2021, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And before we get to our guests and quickies, No More the LA on Netflix, the surreal series featuring Britton Marley, who also is executive producer on that program, is done after 2 seasons. Amazon will pick up and run Truth Seekers, a satire on paranormal activity investigations, co-starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Filming of 8.5 hours starts next month. And the first series from Smart TV distributed service Hallmark Movies Now will begin August 30th. When Hope Calls picks up characters and plot lines from Hallmark Channel's popular drama, When Calls the Heart. Now will also premiere its first original flick, In the Key of Love, August 11th, and will carry the latest season of Canada-based frontier drama, very popular series up there, Heartland, which was previously seen here in the U.S. on Up TV. And that is news notes for today. Many a film festival these days is showing more and more time, giving more and more of their time, to what's going on in television by showcasing pilots, by doing panel discussions, and even, in the case of Tribeca, spinning off its own television festival. The latest film festival around comes up next week. It's the annual New York Latino Film Festival. How much TV will they be doing? Let's find out. Joining me here in the Big Apple is the founder of the festival, Calixto Chinchilla. Calixto, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. First of all, tell people how long the festival has been going on.
It's been going on for 16 seasons, 16 editions, yep.
And HBO has been a major sponsor, and I understand this year there will be at least two more TV-oriented sponsors, Comcast, NBC Universal, and Telemundo, which is owned by Comcast.
Yes, and HBO as well. So, you know, all of them are, you know, are deeply involved with the festival and definitely look at us as, you know, a pipeline for content and talent. And so we're really excited.
Mm-hmm. You've seen how festivals like Sundance and Tribeca, and more recently the Asian American International Film Festival back on Saturday night, is now doing pilot season, where they're showcasing mm-hmm. pilots of upcoming series featuring, in the case of the Asian American Festival just now, Asian American women in the creative role. Has your festival thought about doing a similar pilot season where you devote a night to TV pilots, both Spanish and English, from Latino talent?
Yeah, I mean, ours is very multicultural. So, yeah, I mean, we have a whole web series and pilot track that kind of is named, it's called Futuro, which is part of our digital conference. So we have a whole web series and pilot sections of the festival, but we actually have a full-blown digital conference that we do with Google. So we get top, mm-hmm. you know, thought leaders, influencers, talent, you know, identifiers in the industry, kind of have like that peer-to-peer mentoring and conversation. And so alongside with that, we show pilots. So we've been really thinking about all of this in a 360 kind of way. Like, you want to talk to content creators, you want to talk to distributors, you want to talk to influencers, and really all, because all these people are making this kind of content.
Can you tell us about some of the pilots that will be shown at the Futura Conference, which is mentioned Google is sponsoring?
Yeah, I mean, we actually have two pilots that went through an HBO program. So one of them is Sterling, which is, you know, unfortunately, you know, really about what's happening right now with mass shootings. And so this is a series that kind of talks about a mass shooting that happened in a high school in a small town and what happens in the aftermath of that. And so that, you know, that's a pilot that HBO and Warner, you know, supported the filmmaker on. And then there's another one called South of Sunset, which is about a millennial just trying to live through, you know, adulthood and, you know, kind of moving out of his mom's house and what happens after that, the transition of, you know, having a girlfriend, but having trying to find his own place to stay. So it's you have a mix of comedies and obviously things that are happening, you know, as we see it in the moment. So all of it is really timely. And we're really happy how our pilot session has been growing, because last year we actually had two pilot pickups, one for a full season from Here Network. And then, you know, HBO is in conversation with a talent right now as well. So, you know, we're happy how we've been able to try to grow this little by little.
I understand that somebody from Tripod Studios, which is a production company that has a deal with Lionsgate to develop television programming, is going to be one of the featured speakers at the Futura Conference, which is taking place, I believe, a week from today.
Yes, it's going to be next week. So, yeah, we're having the whole conversation of, like, Latinx and what is it? Not everybody likes the term. Not every Latin likes the term. But what is it, and what are we trying to say, and do we need another bucket? So it's kind of having that real conversation, because again, all of these things kind of reflect on content and the, you know, the images that we're putting out. And again, you know, you have a generation that is very multicultural, that is experiencing and living the Latino experience from a different lens than past generations have, right? And so, you know, now we are the general market. Okay, so then what is that? What does that look like? And what are the stories that come from that? So it's having these candid conversations that make it exciting, you know. And then we also have a whole comedy track too. So if you want to speak on television, even more so, we have a whole comedy competition, which is like the first for HBO, where we look throughout the country for the top five comics, and they will perform in New York for an opportunity to go straight to network. And that's something HBO has never done. So we're really excited about that. That's pretty big.
And in addition to the comedy, HBO actually is going to screen a special on their Latino server, HBO Latino. It's a music special called Farruko Electra de Oro, Otro, which is going
to
be...
Yeah, so it's kind of like a letter to, you know, letter to the song. So basically, Farruko is like a big reggaeton act. Like, you look at Bad Bunny or Daddy Yankee, he's kind of up there. And so it's him talking about not only his upbringing, but like the meaning behind the songs that he writes. And so a lot of his songs are pretty personal. And so it's like, okay, well, how did I get to this space? How did I become what I became? And the meanings behind the songs. So it's pretty deep and personal. And he'll be at the festival as well.
Speaking with Calixto Chinchilla, he is the founder of the annual New York Latino Film Festival, and that festival starts next Monday and it runs through August 18th at various venues throughout Manhattan. HBO is a major sponsor. Google is sponsoring a conference taking place on opening day called Futuro, and Calixto joins us live from, of course, the Big Apple this half hour on Tamavi Televised. We kick off year 13 of the program All About Television this very afternoon on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. If you have a question or comment for Calixto, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tamavi Televised, we will talk with the executive producer of a series that begins this Thursday night on the CW. It's called Two Sentence Horror Stories. It originally started as a short-form series on Stage 13, the Warner Brothers Digital Service, and at one point it was a part of a pilot season presentation at the Tribeca Film Festival a couple years ago. But now is its own half-hour horror series, and we'll speak with executive producer Emily Weideman. We'll also find out if Stage 13 is going to have a role to play in the upcoming HBO Max service. It'll be available next year on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. The script creator executive of Stage 13, Kristen Davila, will be with us. And we'll meet a sister act by the name of Gina and Janae Heitkamp. They've got a new production company called Gen Girl Media, one of their first TV projects, a series of Nickelodeon animated specials happening this fall. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tamavi Televised. And 1 week from today, our lead guest will be the Oscar-winning writer of Moonlight, Terrell Allen McCreary. His first-ever television series premieres on August 16th on the Oprah Winfrey Network. It's called David Makes Man. I've seen clips. A lot of people will be talking about that program. So join us next Monday for Terrell Allen McCreary of David Makes Man on OWN. He's with us live a week from today, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Calixto, how has the festival helped groom writers for or creators for a TV career?
Again, a lot of it is really providing these platforms where, you know, they're really networking and they're really meeting these executives front and center. And I think that's what, you know, we kind of look at television the way we approached film. And so we've been able to successfully develop film programs, and how do we develop, you know, again, a space for television content. And so when it came time to do that, it was like, let's look at digital, because that's where the money's at. And that's where people are going to, whether it's Netflix or, you know, even YouTube, but all these companies, Warner Media is coming out with the product. So, again, that's where Futuro really had like its voice. And so that, I think what makes us different is that we attach a whole digital track to the pilots that that we were showing.
And since you brought it up, this coming year, we are going to see an incredible burst of original programming services. HBO
yeah.
Max, Disney Plus, BET Plus, Apple TV Plus. We're going to see Comcast.
Everybody's a plus.
Next spring. Everybody plus. And that also
Universal coming out with one, yeah.
Right. Walmart has a service, their video on demand service, Vudu, is going to launch original programming this fall. And maybe before this fall is out, they will launch an interactive TV platform called Echo, EKO. All available on smart TV sets and smart devices. For what you're hearing, what is the interest level among Latino filmmakers in these new services and getting out? By the way, in addition to all that, we hear there's two more services that are going to launch in the upcoming months that are available on smart TV sets and smart devices. One from TV One is called A Space for Creators, which would get new TV series, both scripted and scripted, on the air. And another one is UrbanFlix, which would be both movies, but also would be television series, too. But again, with your ear to the grindstone, what is the sense among Latino filmmakers and TV makers about getting involved with these various services?
I mean, just for content creators, regardless of ethnicity, I mean, there's money on the floor and there's opportunity. And I think it's not, you know, theatrical, even for films, like theatrical is not the end all be all. And so the face and the way just, you know, content is distributed is going to evolve even more, you know, outside these apps. 10 years, we'll have a different conversation, right? And so I think the great thing is that all of these platforms, you know, are creating original content and they're spending money on it. And, you know, more important, you know, people are, you know, are consuming it. Now, the big thing, like the upside as a Latino is, as you know, and the numbers don't lie, Latinos dominate in mobile consumption. We dominate on social media consumption and we dominate on theatrical consumption. And so all of that, the cards are on our deck, right? So I think that, you know, again, it seems combined with that and the money that's on the floor and the opportunity, yeah, there's, I think everybody's curious and everybody's open. And it's a good thing. Now it's trying to figure out what kind of content they want and, you know, what their voice is going to look like and how many people attract to that voice, right? You know, how many consumers are going to attach to HBO Max or how many people are going to go for Disney Plus or any of these? Because at the end of the day, you know, the consumers only have but so much they're willing to spend on this stuff. You know what I mean? Usually consumers will probably spend on two or three services and call it a wrap. So I think that there becomes there's going to be a different kind of war right now for viewership and money.
And as we see that happen, we already have a bunch of players like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and CBS All Access and Facebook Watch and YouTube.
Netflix just reported a huge loss the last quarter. And that's something that was like a big deal. But they had a huge loss in subscribers. So again, I mean, there's going to be a serious battle over pricing and, you know, and that consumer.
How is the festival doing getting reps from Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and CBS All Access, et cetera, to scout what's being presented, and particularly the talent involved?
I mean, I think we're still pushing for them to come. I think, you know, I mean, we already have a big presence with HBO and Comcast Universal, so I'm not sure if that's a threat to them. But, you know, at least from the partners that we have, I mean, they're knee deep in like what we present and what they go to acquire. But I don't know how these other companies kind of respond or tippy toe around it. But we have been in discussions with with the Netflix of the world. And, you know, we also work with the Motion Picture Association of America, which every studio and distributor practically is involved in. And so I think that there's definitely been some conversation to have them somewhat involved, but, you know, there's competition too, and that's a reality.
The annual New York Latino Film Festival begins 1 week from today, August 12th, runs at least to the 18th. And by the way, more details about the festival, when it's happening, you can go to nylatinofilmfestival.com. We are speaking with Calixto Conchillo, the founder of this annual fest. He's with us live from the Big Apple this half hour on Tomorrow Televised. Simon Abel with you live from New York as we kick off year 13 of the program on our television. That's all thanks to you. If you have a question or comment for us, just to let us know you listen to the program and want to celebrate our milestone, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And if you are just hearing us for the first time, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, including all of our episodes from this past 12 months, year number 12, go to our homepage anytime you like. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check us out on podcasts through iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you go to iHeartRadio, just go to the website, put in Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you're in. And by the way, you can also check some of our episodes out at MediaVillage.com. That's the website that I write a regular column about the world of TV for. That's www.MediaVillage.com. And our recent episode on Friday with the folks at Spirits Network. That's the new Apple TV service where you can watch programs about the Spirits world and buy Spirits, where there's tequila, et cetera, while the program is on the air. You can also check that out now on LinkedIn. Go to LinkedIn.com, find the link to that, and you can enjoy that episode, too. And I want to thank, by the way, Nick Brazell, who is the founder of Spirits Network, for joining us on Friday. Great episode. We got a lot of feedback on it, and That, again, could be another harbinger of things to come, where you have programming, but also interactivity in terms of commerce and advertising. Andrea, I mean, with the festival, how much of it is English language content, how much is Spanish language?
I would say it's, you know, probably like a good 80% English, the rest is Spanish or Spanglish. So, yeah, I mean, you're seeing a lot of, I mean, we're really known for the U.S. content that we break out. And so, yeah, I would say straight Spanish language content is probably like, again, like that 20%. Yeah. So, yeah, that's good. You know, it's a good mix for sure.
I bring it up because Telemundo is one of the sponsors this year, and Telemundo has had a big run in terms of original primetime programming. Betty in New York, the Ugly Betty remake, that in part was done in New York, mostly in Miami, and they just came off Laredo Sur with Kate Del Castillo, which got rave reviews and some of its best audiences ever. They just launched a new show, Precio Number One, the first ever political drama, and it seems that Telemundo and Univision and Spec America, some other networks, are now look like they are now more interested in U.S. produced programming featuring U.S. Latino writers, directors, producers, and acting talent. And I wonder.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's where exactly where we come in, and you're having, on the flip side, you're having, you know, claimed Spanish, you know, directors that typically direct in Spanish language wanting to, you know, direct in English language, and so I think that. Again, that's where we kind of fit in the sweet spot. And we've always been that festival that kind of operates in that way. And that's because that's how New York is. So, you know, the festival, I mean, we really, programming wise, you know, even to how we market the festival, you know, we really wear New York on our sleeve. But when it came time to really come up with the concept of the festival and how we were going to be really unique, was really trying to bridge the gap between young emerging filmmakers from Latin America and the Caribbean with those that are living stateside, and you find that the stories are very similar, and you know, the styles are different, that the approach to the stories, but there's a lot of similarities, and so I think that that's where, you know, now you're seeing this crossover, but this is something we predicted years ago.
I look, by the way, the Betty in New York was very well done, and I've seen the Ugly Betty, the English language version of Vanessa Williams, and America Ferrari. I've seen the original Spanish language telenovelas, and I thought that what Telemundo did with this one was just great. It was, it really gave you a sense of the fashion scene. I thought the actors were uniformly fantastic. The person, Betty, I think, should have gotten an Emmy nomination. Maybe she'll get it in the National Emmy Awards coming up in November here in New York. And I also, go ahead.
No, but then you have, you know, the flip side. You have One Day at a Time, right? That kind of flips the genre on its head, too. Which I think is, I enjoy the show as well.
I mean, I was about to get to One Day at a Time, but the other one's Betty, and I think some of the, I think Telemundo is starting to get the hint, and maybe Univision is too, and other Spanish language telenovela super series producers, that it's time to cut it's time to know when to put music in and when not to put music in. One of the criticisms of Spanish language dramatic programming over the years has been what I call the use of over-the-top music, where it's like the music comes all over the place, like 30 to 45 seconds into a scene. It happens every single scene. It really gets obnoxious. And I think but it seems that now we're seeing more original music being composed, and the music editors know now when to put the music in and when to say, you know, shut up, let the scene play out and take it for itself. I think Betty New York is a very good example. And also Lorraine Del Sur, too, is a very good example of how you use music and the kind of music that you use. So it's great to see that is happening in Spanish. But it really is a One Day at a Time. I'm sure everybody is very excited about the fact that even though Netflix canceled the show for 3 seasons, Pop TV picked it up.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, and that's great. That's the power of social media right there. But also at the same time, you know, when you talk about the Telemundo and these shows, I mean, also the styles have changed, right? And so this is where the generational shift has kind of happened, where people are kind of tired of the in-studio, you know, novellas, and people just want some real stories and some real content. And, you know, all these shows are kind of, you know, they're filmed outside of studios. They're, you know what I mean? Like, they're real productions. And I think that that's where you have that U.S. influence and the quality of the content. I mean, you even look at Narcos, that takes the same kind of process, you know, takes it away from studio and really I mean, they look like films in themselves. You know, I mean, they're real episodes. And and I also think the creator is all different because, you know, a lot of these novellas used to come from big production houses in Mexico, whether it's a Televisa or, you know, or even Univision has like a Mexican conglomerate that they work with. So I think this is where, again, this is where that U.S. influence are coming because these productions actually shot here. And so that's where you're seeing a difference in the styles. And the directors are younger, too.
And I think they really have a very good sense of how to the look of a show. Again, going back to Betty in New York, the scenes of the fashion look like they were on a fashion runway. The scenes in restaurants look like they were done at real restaurants. The workplaces look like real workplaces. There was more
identification, I think. Because the tastes are changing. You know what I mean? Right now, the taste of Latino audiences is changing. So you either catch up and adjust or, you know, you kind of drift. You know, in Telemundo, if you compare the two between Univision and Telemundo, Telemundo's winning the race right now. That's pretty well known.
And again, with One Day at a Time, I had the opportunity at the Peabody Awards in May to see Rita Moreno and talk to her in person. And I was thrilled that, although she did not get an Emmy nomination for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy, which, personal thought, she should have gotten, question, slam dunk. And Jessie Machado should have been up for Best Actress, by the way, in a comedy. I think her performance is just dynamite. It was great to see that the show was picked up, and I think Pop TV will do a great job with it. And it's looking it could get a run on CBS as well, given that Pop is owned by CBS, so that's a possibility for that. But it's great to see that the show, and I can tell you that the show's ratings did rise. The audience did rise. It was not just it was social media, but it was also at a Nielsen event. They showed that, in fact, the audience for the third season did rise substantially. So there is a more of an audience for One Day at a Time than people think.
Yeah, I mean, even look at, you know, Orange is the New Black, which is a very multicultural show, but very Latin in a lot of aspects as well. You know, I mean, it's a loss for Netflix, but, you know, it had a really good run.
Yeah. Where do you see your festival going in future years, 2020 and beyond?
Good question. We definitely want to spin off the digital side of the conference. So, you know, we've been doing some outside marketing and consulting outside of just running a film festival. So it's basically taking our cultural intelligence and our know-how and really being of influence to other studios and distributors and really just taking that knowledge. If we have our ears on the street and we identify talent, then how can we move that talent? And so really that's where we're at right now is really becoming that strong pipeline, you know, for content and creators. And part of that, you know, proof of that is, you know, the whole comedy competition program, you know, that's been almost 2 years in the making. And the fact that, you know, again, that lucky winner is going to go on network. That's a big deal. And so how do we develop that comedian's, you know, future? So it's not just content, you know, and creators, but it's really, you know, talent of all sorts. So that's really where we kind of want to grow. And then also, you know, to spin off the digital conference and kind of make it multi-city. And so maybe if we're able to go to LA with the digital conference, you know, that would be great. I mean, it's only been our third year doing it, our second year with Google, but, you know, how do we expand on that, you know, and work with even Facebook or Instagram in the future or any of these other platforms in the future. And then, you know, I think, you know, internally, the future's bright, you know, with Warner Media and HBO and now with HBO Max and evolving that, you know, that relationship and seeing how we can be of influence in those other areas with our partners. So as partners grow, then their content needs grow, right? And so that's where we kind of fit in.
One more Netflix note. They did, over the summer, launch a new series with Gabriel Iglesias. Love that comedian. Called Mr. Iglesias. They're also working on a stand-up special with him. And I know that they have some Latino-focused shows, both animated and live-action, in the works. So I just want to let folks know about what is happening over there. And Amazon, Hulu, other people also got some very exciting things in the multicultural field. Working on that. For example, Hulu just did Raimi, which is a marvelous show. If you haven't seen Raimi, marvelous show with that comedic talent. doing his thing. The annual Leo Fitino Film Festival kicks off a week from today, August 12th, runs to the 18th, at various venues in Manhattan, sponsored by HBO, other parts sponsored by Comcast, NBC Universal, Telemundo, and the Futura Conference is a week from today, which we, I believe, will be at Google's headquarters and here in New York and sponsored by Google. For more details about the festival, where it's at, where you can go, bid for tickets, nylatinofilmfestival.com. That's NYLatinoFilmFestival.com. It's all one phrase, NYLatinoFilmFestival.com. All starts a week from today. Kalisa Chinchilla, founder of the festival, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on what your festival's accomplished for both film and television over the years, and have yourself starting next Monday a great, great time with your latest edition.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And by the way, if any of the two pilots that run on Monday, if they become series, we would like to have the creators on the show. Open invite.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure.
You got it. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Kalisa Chinchilla from the New York Latino Film Festival. He's the founder, and he joins us live this half hour from New York. When we come back, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week and some thoughts about year 13. Boy, what a year of television is shaping up. We'll do all that after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradioandspeaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Kings in the Morning tomorrow and every weekday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. It's Kings in the Morning. Great talk, great music, a whole lot more. Kings in the Morning right here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And best of VTR, always available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of our anniversary edition of Tomorrow We Televise. Just went from year 12 to year 13 on this first Monday of August, 2019. Sound out, I'm with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us. Coming up, our classic trivia question of the week and some thoughts about what year 13 of this program may bring in the TV world and why you should definitely care. But first, we have some words from the fine folks who have been our sponsors for the last couple of years, Audible.com. If you think that you're living in tough times, wait till you get moved and inspired by a woman named Tara Westover in a brand new audiobook that just came out called Educated. Trust me, you will be moved and inspired by what Tara has gone through in her life and how she has ultimately made a victory over the past. That's Educated by Tara Westover. It can be one of three audiobooks you get right now through a trial run at Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from, including a growing number of Audible originals. It's original audio productions. It's the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and it's great one-woman and one-man shows. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. If you sign up, at audibletrial.com/televised, you get not one, not two, but three free audiobooks, two of them on the originals, 1 month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And we thank Audible, by the way, for being our wonderful sponsor over these last couple of years on our program. And incidentally, Audible is also a proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival. They expect to get its latest edition on before the end of this year. So, Hear for Yourself by Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. For those three free audiobooks and 1 month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. Brand new questions. We had a win on Friday's episode. And this time, our winner to the question will get a wonderful novel by Patricia Chen. It's called It Takes Two. It takes place in the world of, not TV, but Argentine tango. I've read this book. I think you'll really enjoy it. And I know whoever will win our classic trivia question, we definitely will enjoy. When it comes to great, great comedians, many of whom have their own variety shows, variety half hours or hours over the first few decades of TV's existence, we'll talk about the 1950s, 1960s, one was very special because he was also considered not just one of America's best comedians, but maybe America's greatest clown, Red Skelton. For nearly two decades, Skelton had his own half hour and hour series on NBC and CBS. And over that time, he created an unforgettable gallery of characters. And that is our question. Name three of Red Skelton's ongoing characters that he played. Name three of the ongoing characters Red Skelton played on his weekly variety series. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full name and address. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win a great novel by Patricia Chen, It takes two. And if you missed the question a moment ago, if we don't bring it back before the end of the episode today, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. And by the way, if you missed our episode on Friday, congratulations to our latest winner, who was our last winner of our 12th year on the air. That's Israel Freeman of New York, New York. He's getting his prize, I believe, today or tomorrow at the latest. So, anyway, congratulations to him, and congratulations in advance to one of you if you get our latest classic trivia question. But remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your mailing address, or find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter tomorrow if we don't get a winner by the end of today. And now, a comment. Here we are, year 13. We've been on the air now for 12-plus years, and it was 2 years ago that I made the declaration when we had our 10th anniversary that we were in not one, not two, but three eras of television. The era of plentiful TV, both scripted and unscripted, hundreds of original shows in both genres. We were in the era of diverse TV, lots of diversity all over the place, more to come. And we were in the era of smart TV, where more and more people had smart TV sets and smart TV devices to do all sorts of things with them, with the remote control, and then later on, thanks to the introduction of artificial intelligence services in those products, like Siri, Google Assistant, and Alexa, the ability to control the set with your voice. We're talking about TV sets from Samsung and LG and Vizio, and products like Amazon Fire TV, Google Chromecast, Apple TV, Roku, TouchJet Wave, etc. Well, 2 years later, we can, for one thing, add another era to that threesome. We are in the era of interactive television. That's my declaration to kick off our 13th year. We are in the era of interactive TV. And after so many decades of, are we going to have it? Is it going to happen? Are we going to see it in our lifetime? We had this project go nuts, and this project get bad, and this project go crazy and never see the light of day. Well, now we are in the era of interactive TV. You can thank Bandersnatch for that. You can thank Netflix for starting off with original episodes of animated series. Then Bandersnatch, the episode of Black Mirror that just got nominated for Best Interactive Program and Best Made for TV Movie. I have an issue with the Made for TV Movie Emmy nomination. And then You vs. Wild, the Bear Grylls series that premiered this spring that did quite, that's still doing quite well. And what's happening? Well, more Netflix interactive shows, including an interactive animated series and an Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt closing episode in times ahead. YouTube will be doing some interactive programming. Hulu will be doing interactive advertising. And we will see Walmart, among other people, test not only interactive ads, but also with their Vudu Video On Demand service, an interactive TV platform called Echo, EKO, is working with some big producers to do all kinds of original programming where, at various points, you control what happens. Oh, let's not forget that in some TV series, there is a measure of interactivity already in play. Check out Disney Channel's Just Roll With It. Wonderful series. We have the creators on the program several months ago, where at various points, the studio audience dictates which way the comedy plot goes. But that's not all. In the next year, in this next 12 months, we are going to see the biggest explosion of original programming the world has ever seen, you included. We talked about this with Calixto a few moments ago. In the next 12 months, we're going to have Apple TV Plus, we're going to have BET Plus, we're going to have Disney Plus all before the end of this year. We're going to see maybe these two new smart TV limited services, a Space for Creators and Urban Flix. And next year we will see HBO Max and the Comcast NBC Universal series will be ad-supported sometime in the spring. And maybe a full-fledged Echo service too with big Walmart support. And that's not all. Because over the weekend we heard that Facebook may before the end of this year introduce the ability for you through your television set to talk to your friends, your neighbors, your parents, maybe your doctor, maybe your real estate agent, maybe your financial advisor, again, through the television set. Not a separate device, through the television set, in some manner. And more and more sets now have the ability for you to interact with other devices in your home. The microwave oven, the lights, the thermostat, the front door, the home security system. All of that you can control with your voice and through, not around, your television set. And more of your smart sets of devices are going to have this capability over the next 12 months. And if you think 5G is a technology that is only for smartphones, think again. We are going to see television sets that will have 5G in it. And that's going to create opportunities for even more unique ways of television programming, advertising, and commerce. Oh, and let's not forget also over this next 12 months, we're going to see TV stations around the country deploy ATSC 3.0. That's the advanced transmission system that will allow them to offer more channels and to offer more types of services, interactive included, maybe emergency alert, maybe up-to-date weather conditions, so that if a tornado pops up your area, bang, you get the alert as fast as possible. And that's all we know right now. There's a lot we don't know that I think is going to come out over the course of this next 12 months. Bottom line, get ready for the biggest explosion of television content, original television content, original television interactivity, original television services that this world has ever seen. And I know when you hear something like that, you can get a little scared. Can I handle this? I'm pretty optimistic I can. Yes, I know I'm going to have a lot more people to talk to. And yes, it's going to be foreboding at times. And there's a lot of technology to learn. But I'm really excited about the journey. Because after 12 years of doing this program and having seen what I have seen and witnessed over the course of the past 12 years, I'm not surprised anymore that things can get real surprising. Nothing surprised anymore. It's a bigger circle of life. I had a chance, by the way, to see the Lion King, the new version of it, over the weekend, yesterday, with my parents on our annual Midsummer retreat. I have to say I was really fascinated by the film. I know it's gotten mixed reviews. I personally like it. There's a lot I like about it. A few things I don't, but mostly I do. And I'm really admired what Jon Favreau and Caleb Deschanel and a whole bunch of other people did to make that film with their photorealistic world of computer animation. Another interesting direction of where TV may be headed. But one thing I think is very clear is that the circle of life in television is going to expand and expand far beyond. And I really believe the American public is going to embrace it. And what's really amazing to me, in conclusion, is that up to this point, you and many people in the public, in this country, and in this world, have embraced smart TV sets and smart devices and this whole mammoth new programming world without much media coverage, without much coverage by local press, without much public demonstration, without much showcasing by the smart TV set makers and device makers themselves, and without much talk among the TV industry. The latter, I hope, changes. It's time for the TV industry to stop not talking about this. It's time for press to stop not talking about smart sets and devices and interactivity and 5G and the impact it will have on television. It is time to get this coverage so you, the public, can make a better choice and be better informed about what is coming down your pipe. Trust me, what's coming down your pipe is going to be big, gigantic, and universe-changing, and universe-transforming. And I have a lot of faith that you're going to handle it. I really, really do. And one way you can handle it is stay tuned to this program. Be part of our 13th year on the air. Join in the conversation. We really want to hear from you. Let me know what you think about this world of television, where it's at and where it's going. Listen to our shows. Check us out on MediaVillage.com. Check out my tweets and sometimes my Facebook postings. we will enjoy, I think, this era together, these next 12 months. And I'd love to have you along for the ride, because it's going to be a dynamite one. So strap in, people. Get ready. Year 13, train has left the station. And look out, new world of television, it's a-coming. Again, I want to thank our guest today, Callisto Chinchilla from the New York Latino Film Festival. Once again, if you want to check out, if you're in New York or coming to New York next week, check out what's going on there, nylatinofilmfestival.com. Again, thank you to all the guests we have had on over the last 12 years on this program and everybody who's involved with the show. And thank all of our Facebook followers and Twitter followers for staying tuned with us and all the people who called in. Thanks to also the public relations people, by the way, at all the services that we deal with, both network, independents, production companies, syndicators, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you to the folks at Blog Talk Radio who will get their credits momentarily. And finally, thanks to you, because you've kept us going over these 12 years. I thank you for all the feedback. I thank you for all the listening. I thank you for, even if you don't like what we cover, I appreciate your feedback, your responses, your commentary is appreciated. And as we say often, because what you say matters. So be sure to join us as we continue year 13 on Friday, when we will have, from the new CW series, Two Cents Horror Stories, executive producer Emily Wetterman, from Stage 13, the production company from Warner Brothers Put Together, scripted content executive Christine Davila, and we'll have the sister act of Gina and Janae Heitkamp, whose new project, Gen Girl Media, will be launching, with among other TV events, the new series of Nickelodeon animated specials with computer effects, I might add. So that's coming up on Friday, and 1 week from today, my lead guest will be the Oscar-winning writer of Moonlight, Carol Allen McClary. His new series on the Oprah Winfrey Network, first for television, David Makes Man, premieres on August 16th. Again, if you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out the podcast. It's available on iTunes, on Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and, of course, www.iheartradio.com. We love hearing from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Remember, that's how you get involved in our Class Trivia Question of the Week. If you want to win the novel It Takes Two by Patricia Chen, here's the question one more time. Name three characters Red Skelton played regularly on his weekly television series. And we need the full name of the character, by the way, first and last name of all three that you give us. So it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. By the way, that's also how you get involved in a regular feature we're doing the last few years here on this program. It's called The Show to Know. Is there a TV series you like that doesn't get enough attention? Let me know. If it's attention, you get the credit. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And don't forget, you can find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, we appreciate what you have to say, so do it, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not as they those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. Andy Toad is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, and Jay Sonnenberg is executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk are Alan Levy and Bob Sharish. Tomorrow we show live is brought today by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening today and the previous 12 years. Keep the listening coming in year 13. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your day and your week. We are back on Friday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And from now till then, please make it safe and great. Please keep it in your heart for everybody impacted by the recent shootings over this weekend in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.